Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Zee Entertainment Enterprises Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Pratap Singh, Head of Investor Relations, Zee Entertainment Enterprises Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yashashree. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Q3 FY23 earnings discussion. We have with us today our Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Punit Goenka, along with senior management team. We will start with opening remarks from Mr. Goenka, followed by commentary on operating and financial performance by Mr. Rohit Gupta, our Chief Financial Officer. We'll subsequently open the floor for questions and answer session. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone that some of the statements made or discussed on today's conference call will be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with risks and uncertainties we face. The company does not undertake to update any of these forward-looking statements publicly. With that, I now hand the call over to Mr. Goenka for his opening remarks.
Okay. Thank you, Mahesh. Good evening, everyone. I hope all of you are doing well, and I'm glad to connect with you all this evening. As always, I will share a brief outline on the company's performance indicators, post which our CFO, Rohit Gupta, will take you through the financial and operating metrics in detail. Before we begin, I would like to apprise you on the progress of the proposed merger between Zee and Sony. As you are aware, we have received approvals from the stock exchanges, Competition Commission of India, and the company's equity shareholders. The teams at both ends are focused on completing all the required legal and regulatory processes mandated as per law. Our focus remains on concluding these processes in the most appropriate and timely manner, and we stay committed to building a value-generating institution for all our stakeholders. Speaking about the industry at large, during the third quarter, the M&A sector continued to display immense potential and several growth opportunities across key segments. Keeping pace with this momentum, the company has also continued to make good progress with healthy growth in the digital business and share gains in some of the key channels during the quarter. This mirrors the success of the team's concerted efforts to strengthen our offering across markets, and we continue to maintain sharp focus on delivering a robust content slate to consumers. Our recent re-entry in the sports business with the inaugural edition of the ILT20 has augured well for the company and has drawn a positive initial response from the viewers and advertisers alike. We aim to further build onto this momentum and elevate audience excitement, viewership, and economic muscle for the sports business. Even as the structural growth scenario appears positive in the mid to long term, we remain cautiously optimistic on the near-term advertising revenue outlook. The overall sentiments continue to be soft this quarter as well, which has resulted in muted advertising revenue growth across the sector. While the macroeconomic environment and inflationary headwinds are gradually easing, key brands and advertisers across categories restrain their spending. Given the fact that we have relatively high exposure to FMCG advertisers and Tier 2, Tier 3 audiences, our advertising revenue sensitivity to rural demand and consumption is more pronounced. We remain hopeful that the steps announced by the Honorable Finance Minister in the Budget 2023 will spur broad-based demand and lead to a quicker recovery in the overall ad environment. On the subscription front, the long standstill on the new tariff order has been impeding growth and impacting our profitability. That said, NTO 3.0 being implemented from 1st February 2023, we look forward to driving subscription revenues growth post-implementation in the most effective manner. At Zee, we continue to focus our energies on building a future-ready portfolio, which is well-poised and diversified to capitalize on the opportunities as the overall market sentiments improve. On that note, I would like to hand over the session to Rohit to share finer details on the company's performance during the quarter. I look forward to interacting with you all during the question and answer session. Thank you. Over to you, Rohit.
Thank you, Puneet. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Q3 FY23 earnings call. I will briefly touch upon financial performance and outlook. Starting from an operating environment perspective, we continue to see curtailed ad spending by FMCG brands during the quarter. While October did see a very brief pickup due to festive season, subsequently, spends have continued to taper off. We believe this is a cyclical slowdown, and as demand recovers, we will see pickup in TV advertising. TV still remains the most relevant mass media brand building avenue with unparalleled reach. We are utilizing this period to strengthen our business to capitalize on the opportunity as the tide turns. On linear business, we continue to be India's strong number two TV entertainment network, and our viewership share for quarter 3 FY23 was at 16.2%, marginally lower by 20 BPS quarter on quarter. We have gained share in several key markets, including in Zee Tamil, which has been a consistent growth story over last couple of quarters. Zee Marathi performance still remains subdued, and team is focused on stabilizing and rebuilding our network share there in coming quarters. On digital side, Z5 has posted yet another quarter of growth across financial and operating metrics. Our quarter 3 FY23 DAUs are highest ever at 11.5 million. Original content is being well received, and Z5 app user experience has seen significant improvement. All of these are strong affirmation of our investment in content, technology, and marketing. Z5 has clocked a revenue growth of 33% year-on-year during quarter 3 FY23, reflecting healthy traction and adoption. Now, specifically coming to the financial performance, total revenue for quarter 3 FY23 are up 4.1% quarter-on-quarter and were flat year-on-year. Our ad revenue for the quarter grew by 5% quarter-on-quarter, aided by festive season spending, but are lower by 16% year-on-year. On year-on-year ad revenues, in addition to the macroeconomic factors, previous year quarter 3 also had a stronger festive season and Zee Anmol FTA ad revenue, which we withdrew from 1st April 2022. Subscription revenues for the quarter were up by 13% year-on-year and 9% quarter-on-quarter. Quarter 3 FY23 subscription revenues were aided by underlying organic growth in Z5 and recognition of Rs. 59 crores amount from Citi Network, including 10 crores of GST, so net revenue of Rs. 49 crores. On recognition of subscription revenues from Citi Network, while we have recognized revenues, as a conservative practice, we have also provided Rs. 59 crores amount receivable, including GST, in exception items, to be consistent with our cash and carry approach. Zee Music Company saw 246% year-on-year growth in video views, highlighting strength of ZMC Music Catalog and Library. YouTube's subscriber base of ZMC increased to 92 million from 80 million a year ago. ZMC continues to be number two music channel and has a very young and new age catalog with very high consumption. ZMC also continues to acquire 50% of new Hindi movie titles. Coming to the movie business, during the quarter, Zee Studios released 9 movies, 5 Hindi and 4 regional. While the content performance remains soft, syndication revenues were healthy, driving a 148% year-on-year growth in quarter 3 FY23 in other sales and services revenues, albeit on a lower base of quarter 3 FY22. During the quarter, our content inventory and advances were largely stable at Rs. 79.5 billion. We have a strong 2023 pipeline of movies under different stages of production. Now moving to cost and profitability, During quarter three FY23, excluding exceptional items, our EBITDA margin came in at 16%, quarter-on-quarter improvement of 135 BPS, but still lower by 668 BPS year-on-year. We continue to be focused on prudent cost management across the business and are hopeful that when the macroeconomic environment and ad spends improves, our margins will recover from these levels. ZEE5 EBITDA losses for the quarter stand at Rs. 2820 million, largely stable compared to Q2 FY23. From an outlook perspective, we will continue to invest in strengthening our ZEE5 value proposition in line with our investment strategy and expect ZEE5 to be in investment mode for the next few years. Also, quickly touching upon the receivables from Dish, outstanding has substantially reduced from Rs. 5.8 billion as on March 20 to Rs. 1.06 billion in December 22. PAT for the quarter came in at Rs. 243 million. Net profit for the quarter was impacted by exceptional items aggregating to Rs. 169 crores. In addition to provision for Citi subscription revenues, we have accounted 68.9 crores for merger-related expenses, Rs. 25.5 crore provisioning for principal outstanding from ZLearn entities, and 16.2 crore provision towards DASRA. The cash and treasury investments of the company as of December 22 stand at Rs. 6.7 billion. The cash and treasury investments include cash balance of Rs. 4.6 billion and fixed deposits of Rs. 2.1 billion. To sum up, while Q3 festive seasonality hasn't been strong, we have shown some sequential improvement in a challenging backdrop, which is encouraging. Ad revenue growth revival is our key focus, and we are hopeful of a gradual improvement in the spending environment. Back to you, Mahesh.
Thanks, Rohit. Yashashri, we will open the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I have a first question on the P&L and balance sheet. So firstly, on the P&L, there is an exceptional item of around 166 crores odd. I wanted to understand the three a bit more in detail. Why now? Second is your cash and investment is down in the 9 months. From around 1297 crores to around 672 crores, almost half. So where does this go from here? I understand the slowdown in advertising and your upfront investments across many of your channels and OTT. But from here on, next 1 year, where do you see your cash and investment?
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Avnish. Avnish, like I said, you know, the exceptional items has four key elements to it. The first one is, you know, as I said, we have recognized revenue of Citi to the extent of 59 crores, including GST. And we have also taken a similar provision, which has been reflected in our exceptional items. That is the first part. The second is, you know, there were entities from ZLearn, which we have impaired, which is about 255 million. And then there is merger-related cost, which includes, you know, legal, professional, and other items, integration, etc., which is about 689 million. And then there is a provision for DASRA, which we have been doing in earlier quarters. And as in terms of, you know, the contractual agreement, we continue to provide for it. So that is about another 162 million. So that is the breakup of the exceptional item. As far as cash, so if you see in this quarter, the cash primarily reduction in cash is because there's a dividend payout that has happened to the tune of about 300 crores. Quite frankly, you know, this quarter, there is a free cash flow of 100 crore plus that has happened. But over the last 9 months, primarily because, you know, we have seen dip in advertising revenues, you know, and that is one reason why, of course, you know, it has impacted our profitability and our cash as well. And like we said, you know, the key is the turnaround of the advertising revenues. As the advertising revenues improve, our profitability will also improve, and that will also have a positive impact on our cash. Having said that, we have been making investments in Z5, in both in, you know, in the on the content side, in technology and marketing, and that investment, you know, will continue because we see that as the growth area.
Sure. One follow-up on that. The merger cost of 68 crores seems quite high. What exactly is it? And merger cost and NCDs, say, on Zealand or, say, CityCable, any more recurring item? Because we had understood that any more group-level issues are mostly done. So why this fresh issue? And then, again, more issues happen from group companies?
Yeah, Avnish, on the city part, because we are on cash and carry, the billing has happened of the 59 crores that Rohit talked about, but because the cash is not received by us, then is it? It's parked in either court or in FDs with the banks, which are earmarked for us. Good prudence governance made us take the decision to provide for it. ZLearn is a one-off. There is no other outstanding against that. Rohit, correct me if I'm wrong. And so there is not going to be anything else. On the merger-related issues, Abhinesh, you can take it offline with Mahesh in detail.
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, just to add to it, this includes merger transaction, integration planning, several other functional work streams, you know, specific to the merger. And this is a big merger, so, you know, these expenses look high, but in terms of the overall merger, you know, this is what it is.
Sure, that's useful. My last question is on advertising. So when I see the FMCG ad spends in Q3, we have obviously not seen a 15% cut in their advertising spend. There are other sectors, I do understand that. But what's the strategy now on the Anmol? Because say 6 to 7% of the advertising impact is clearly there from there also. So you are now seeing improvement in your subscription revenue with the new approvals, etc., which have come in terms of NTO2 also. So on Ghee Anmol, any refurbished strategy given the impact is quite high and rural slowdown, we don't know. As of now, still it is still very early green shoots. So in that scenario, any rethink on the FTA strategy?
No, Avnish, no rethink on the FTA strategy, because since April 2022, when we went off free-to-air, we have actually seen, you know, the stabilization of the paid subscriber base on both cable and digital, satellite. So therefore, going back so soon would, in our view, will hamper the potential growth for the pay, which is going to come back after 3 years with the NTO3 implementation. So nothing as of now.
Sure. Okay. Thanks. That's all from me. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vivekanand S. from Ambit Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity. So in your consolidated notes to accounts, you mentioned that you have billed subscription of 68.49 crore from Citi and you have booked provision of 58.4. So does this mean that you received around 10 odd crores from Citi during the quarter? I'm just trying to understand this note better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'll take this one. So we have, so total amount that was billed was, you're right, about 68 point, you know, some crores. And the revenue that we have recognized is actually based on, you know, the amount that Citi has either deposited in the court or the fixed deposits that they have made, which is earmarked for Zeal. So based on that, they have, because the amount to which they have done is about 59 crores, that is why we have taken revenue of 59 crores, and similar amount has been provided for in the, which is shown in the exceptional items.
Oh, so Rohit, you are saying that this 68.5 crore is the billing. You were supposed to recognize 58.4, but since you have not received that money, you are providing for it, is it?
That's right.
Okay. My second question is on the Zlearn NCDs. When was this investment made?
So, as you can see from the note, these Zlearn NCDs were guaranteed by Z. And these were actually taken over by Z in 2020. We have been receiving, payments from Zlearn to the NCDs, and the amount had come down from 45 crores to 25 crores. But having said that, in the last few months, we have seen that, the amount was, one, not coming in, and secondly, because there is an insolvency admittance that NCLT has done for Zlearn, based on which, we have taken a call to provide for it.
Okay. Third question is, the DSRA guarantee, clearly there is still some amount that is unprovided for. And we see that every quarter there is there is some additional provision that we are taking for this, and I believe the number for the current quarter was 16.2 crore. So why not take the provision entirely in one quarter, so that it will, in this 1 hour of conference call discussion, we can focus on the business items rather than every quarter just, jump through to understand the numerous exceptional items.
So see, for DSRA, all the matters are sub judice right now, and we are providing for as per the terms of DSRA. So DSRA have, with various banks, there are certain DSRA terms, and based on that, we are providing as and when they become due, we provide for it every quarter.
Oh, I see. Okay. And was that the same with Zlearn, or was that your choice that you decided to provide for it this quarter?
So with Zlearn, like I said, there was a trigger in this quarter, and based on that, we decided to take the provision.
Okay, understood. Thank you, and I'll come back in the.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jinesh Joshi from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have a question on the subscription business. The revised RIO that we have filed basically shows a price hike in the double digits, especially in some of the bookies downtown. So going by this trend, can we expect a very strong growth in the subscription business in the first year of implementation itself, we had witnessed for NQ 1.0. That is one. And secondly, can you also share the rationale behind pricing? I know viewership is probably one of the factors, but is there any math linked to it? Because in some of the bookings, the price hike is quite steep. Yeah, this is my first question.
Yeah, Jinesh, so if you recall, because we have not been able to take any price hike for the last 3 years, and we have launched the maximum number of channels, within those 3 years, which means we were not able to price them into our bouquet itself. That is the other reason, other than viewership itself. That's the only reason it looks like that steep. We have factored that into our calculation, but of course, the resultant growth for the company overall, all India level, will not be that high. It'll still be moderated single digits, as I have been saying to you.
Sure, sir. And my second question is with respect to the response to the inaugural IL20 league.
Mr. Joshi, I'm sorry. Can you use your handset, please? Your voice is coming a little muffled.
Is this better now?
Yes.
Yeah. So my second question is with respect to the response to the inaugural IL T20 league. Is it possible to share any viewership data or probably any data point with respect to ad or give some perspective on a profitability timeline in the context of amount that we have paid to get the right?
Yeah, so the IL T20 inaugural session has been received quite well. Ratings data is available in the BARC system. You can get it from there. I would not have it. We won't have it readily available here, but we can share it with you. Because this was aired on our entertainment channels, we have seen significant uptake in the advertising, and it is within the budget that we had planned. Of course, any league of this sort takes a few years to get established and turn profitable. So we do expect in the third or fourth edition is when we'll see break-even or profitability coming from this.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Arun Prasad from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on ZEE5. If you look at the trends for the last 9 months, clearly the MAUs have increased, but DAUs have kind of become flat, and average watch time has actually has reduced, and revenue has increased. So I just want to understand this divergence in these trends. How should we read this? What's happening, and what should we expect in the next say 1 or 2 years on this front?
Yeah, so MAUs have increased, and even DAUs have increased over the last 9 months. In fact, they have gone from, I think from my memory, I'm talking with Arun, but we can reconfirm these to you. But about 9 months ago, it was daily active users between 7 and 8 million. And today we are at about 11.5 million. That trend in the time spent has weakened this quarter only because we had a lot of new customers that came in to sample. And as you would know, for any new customer, for them to become loyal and start consuming content for long periods of time takes time. So this is just an aberration. I do expect this to stabilize back to the 180 to 200 levels that we have been seeing for the last 3 quarters.
Okay, just the numbers that that we see is close to DAUs have kind of been flat in the between the June to December, around 11 million. But nevertheless, what I'm trying to understand is if you can give your gross ads on the subscriber, because these numbers are looking like based on the usage and as well as there is a churn. But if you consistently are you seeing increase in the gross ads and also churn, so the net ads is remaining more or less same, or how should we look at this? If you slice and dice qualitatively, can you explain what's happening here?
So Arun, sorry, I stand corrected. You are right. DAUs have been flat for last 2 quarters. I stand corrected there. So we will be sharing a whole lot of new metrics with you all starting post the merger. So kindly bear with us for a couple of more months, and we'll start sharing all the detailed metrics with you.
Okay. All right. Thanks. My next question is on the cost side. If you see the content cost and obviously the marketing spends, I'm just comparing this 9 month data from the 20 and as well as 22. Obviously the cost is increasing because your investment is going up in many of these properties. What I'm thinking is, are we too aggressive in the content investment in these times? Despite knowing that there is a slowdown in the FMCG spends, because we are aware about the FMCG spends, at least we are talking about this for the last 2-3 quarters. Are we going to tone down our aggression at some point of time, and how should we think about the cost going forward?
So Arun, you are right. This is a natural question that we ask ourselves every day. But
the impact of that is also seen, you know, because last year, same time, when we had cut costs significantly, it had an impact on our business in the current year. So we consciously chose not to cut investments in this year, so that when the tide turns, we are ready to capture the growth. And therefore, we will continue to remain aggressive in the content investments. Of course, that does not mean that you keep jumping by 14%, 15%. I think they are inflationary in nature. Even if you look at now, it's only about a 10% growth in content cost that we are seeing.
No, right, Nate. But at what point of time you will take a relook at these costs, cost levels?
We do it every day, that's what I'm saying.
Sorry, couldn't hear you.
I'm saying we do this every day, every quarter. So that's our job, to be fair. We look at these costs. Other than revenue, that's the next line item we look at, is our cost. So rest assured, we are going to be prudent. And when we think it is no longer viable to invest in the content, we will pull back.
Okay, all right. Thanks for all of this.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for this opportunity. I wanted to check regarding your thoughts on Jio's decision to offer IPL for free on Jio Cinema. Would this have an adverse impact on the PTV customer base and ability of broadcasters to monetize the cricket broadcasting rights? I know it's different IPL versus World Cup rights which you own, but how do you see this development? And also, would this mean a larger move of ad dollars towards digital?
I don't think so, that it is that easily substituted that you can just shift the viewership from you know, television to digital overnight. If you look at even the case of when the predecessor had IPL, if you recall the first 2 years, they also were giving it free. It's only in the third year or third edition that they had it, that they put it behind the paywall. Of course, it will pull advertising dollars towards that, but that does not mean it will replace television from any angle. Our own calculations state that even in the last season of IPL, almost 75% plus advertising came on television, and only 20-25% came on digital. So that will not significantly change overnight.
Even with IPL being available for free and on one channel, while that being paid on television, you don't think it will have any meaningful impact? I mean, why would that be the case? For the customer, it becomes so much convenient plus affordable to directly go for digital, right?
No, you see, you are talking about the, you know, maybe the high-end customer who's got the high-end television set that they watch it on. The other 200 million or 250 million people are not going to sit and watch a 5-hour match on the mobile screen, right? So, and once you are home, you generally just go to the convenience of watching it on television. That is what I believe is the general human nature.
Okay. Second and last question is, I wanted to get your initial thoughts on ad revenue growth, subscription revenue growth, and margins in FY24.
Kunal, we are not giving that guidance out right now. As I said in my opening remarks, the advertising market is still soft. We have to take it quarter on quarter. So for FY24, we are not giving a guidance right now. Subscription revenues will grow. As I said, once the NTO 3.0 is implemented, you will see a healthy single-digit growth on subscription revenue.
On advertisement, are you seeing any signs of a recovery? Because for consumer companies, the gross margins are expanding, ad spends are at a multi-year low. Are you optimistic about a recovery?
I'm always optimistic. And, you know, the headwinds and, the, you know, on the inflation side and the rural thing, hopefully will bounce back soon enough for consumption to again pick up, and therefore advertising should come back.
Okay. And just lastly, on the sharp decline in average viewership minutes in digital, I couldn't understand the reason for that. Why is there a sharp moderation?
It's basically new users that came on. their consumption generally is low in the beginning months. It's only once they get used to the platform that they consume more. So it's an aberration. There is no trend to it.
But we haven't seen a sharp increase in users as well, right? So, I mean, what am I missing here?
Kunal, you've seen the MAU go up meaningfully. If you look at where our MAU is, about 10 million on addition in the quarter.
Okay. I'll have a look at it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on Z5. You know, if I look at over the last 2 years, the DAUs have almost doubled. MAUs have also more or less doubled. The conversion rate is around 9 to 10% odd. The revenues have grown, but the costs have grown even sharper. How do you plan to, you know, monetize these footfalls or these sort of, you know, DAUs that we are seeing? We had earlier mentioned large part of this will be driven by subscription. On the advertisement front, if you can share some thoughts there.
No, you're right. So we will continue to grow our revenues by subscription itself and also by advertising. But advertising will be, you know, a smaller segment, unlike television, where it constitutes almost 70% or 75%. In this case, it will be, you know, reversed to begin with, and then probably plateau out between 60-40 in the favor of subscription.
Is there any inflection point in terms of, let's say, DAUs or maybe the conversion rate, wherein you believe the monetization on advertisement will be much more sort of, you know, feasible and visible there?
Yes, obviously there will be, you know, once we start hitting conversion levels of 15 to 18%, you will start seeing far more traction in advertising coming in.
Sure. On the advertisement front, while the environment is still soft and as you suggested, probably near term, the outlook is not as great. If you can share probably, let's say on a 9-month basis, how has been our volumetric growth and maybe the correction on the yield front that we have seen?
So most of the degrowth has come on the yield part. Only some part has come on the inventory or the consumption.
This will be largely led by, you know, let's say the likes of Tamil and Marathi languages or even Hindi and other languages have seen correction.
Across the board.
Sure. And lastly, you know, maybe a bookkeeping. So the one-off that we had taken in this quarter, so Zlearn largely is done. You know, merger cost, is it all done or probably there could be certain more expenses there? And secondly, on the city exposure bit as well and DSRA, you know, will we be taking a quarter-on-quarter approach there or there is a possibility of sort of, you know, front-loading all the provisions at one go?
So as Rohit explained, as part of the DSRA agreement, as and when those amounts fall due, we take a exposure falls due, we take it in the quarterly approach. As far as Zlearn is concerned, you're right, it's done for. And as far as the merger expenses are concerned, the merger is not yet done, no? So it will continue.
And I just want to add, you know, while we do take this provision for DSRA, the entire provision is without prejudice. Because we have these matters, they are sub judice.
Sure. Just a clarification, this merger cost of 68-69 crores, this is only for the quarter or there are certain longer term costs also which have been booked here?
So this is the cost for the quarter? Sorry, I didn't get your, what was the question?
No. So I'm just wondering if sort of, you know, so this is cost only for Q3. So in Q4, possibility of such cost repeating also remains there.
Not necessarily. It has to be the same, right? I mean, because some consultants would have finished their work and gone away. So it will continue to vary. We can't make a standard statement that this will continue at the same level.
Okay, sure. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the management team. Sorry to harp on the exceptional item again. So two questions here. Rohit, you mentioned that we are providing for Dasra as and when they fall due. So does that mean that, if my understanding is correct, this is basically the guarantee that we provide for the interest which is due. That consistently, whenever it is due, not being paid by the entity which we have guaranteed. And if that is the case, what is the outstanding amount now which has not fallen due? Any number to give us a little bit of visibility or clarity on, what to expect going forward?
So, first of all, whatever amount that was due for Dasra till date, that has, we have taken a provision, and that is without prejudice. We have these matters in the court, so you're aware about that.
We won't be able to disclose those figures to you.
Yeah. But yes, whatever, so there is, like you're saying, is there any outstanding amount which is due? It's nothing like that. Whatever is, we have already taken a provision for that.
Okay. And second, like ZLearn, can we disclose the overall outstanding that we might have across, the Z entities or other related parties which we should be aware of?
All are disclosed, Abhishek. There is nothing which is not disclosed. Even ZLearn was disclosed.
Okay. Fine. So that's helpful. Now, one question on the OTT. I just wanted your view. Have we seen any decline in the competitive intensity, over the past few years, or the competition continues to be, competitive intensity continues to be very high, and therefore we continue to invest in the OTT platform that we're doing?
Well, competition on OTT is still high. I don't see it as being reduced in any manner whatsoever. So I think it's still early days, and this competition intensity will remain high for at least the foreseeable future.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Chandrasekhar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of questions from my side. So on subscription, basically some part of the growth is because of the city revenue that's recognized, right? I just wanted to understand, is this a kind of cumulative catch-up revenue that's been recognized, or are these amounts also included in prior quarters? I'm just trying to understand like-for-like kind of how do I compare QOQ.
It is catch-up, entirely catch-up.
For how long will this be? As in, what's the period for this?
Just one second.
12 months.
Last 12 months revenue.
Yeah. So we have not been recognizing revenue from city, and because we have said that, city revenues we recognize only on the basis of when we collect. So only this time when they have actually made deposits into the court and they have these FDs which are earmarked, we have recognized this revenue just to be, in line with the accounting standards. And at the same time, we have made a similar provision to make sure that, unless these amounts are received, we don't take them into our profitability.
Helpful. And going forward, every quarter, will they be continuing this deposit to the court, or what's the arrangement in place going forward?
They have to deposit in the court or in the FD until the court resolution happens on the case. Because up until then, they were paying us directly.
Okay, got it. And second question, is it possible to give any sense on the potential total merger costs? What are we looking at?
Difficult to say right now, but we'll try and get an estimate for you.
Okay, sure. And lastly, on the content cost, I think related to a question that another analyst had asked. So in terms of like inflection point, in terms of when you might think of saying that the content investments have peaked, is there a particular benchmark in terms of linear viewership share or maybe DAU, MAU number that you maybe have in mind? Say the 16% goes to X% or the MAU goes from 11 million to, or sorry, DAU goes from 11 million to 15, whatever number it is. Is that the right way to think about it as to from then the content investments will kind of start tapering down, or is that too simplistic?
Well, sir, that's very simple, right? Why would I want to put a ceiling for my growth on viewership or any of this thing? So generally, the way to look at it is because linear is a stable business, we generally remain between 40% and 45% of our revenue as the cost of programming. That has been the benchmark that we follow. And that's what you should continue to look at. Of course, today it will be higher because of current macroeconomic situation. But as and when that improves, this will again come into the same level of 40%-45%. And you will agree that as long as we are growing, we should be investing in content so that we can continue to grow our viewership and therefore the revenue. On the
But
digital side, it is
currently,
still early days, so we have to see and see how that metric plays out.
okay. But currently on linear side, you're investing, right, to catch up on some of the markets where we are lagging behind.
That is
So,
correct.
yeah. So once you reach kind of the market share that you expect in those segments, then it'll come down to the steady state 40%-45% of revenues. That's what you're saying, right?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Okay, got it. Okay, thanks. And I'll reach out for any estimate, if possible, on the merger costs.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pulkit Chawla from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So first on the market share, this quarter again, there has been a slight decline in the market share, and market share gains recovery seems to be slightly on the slower side. This is despite the fact that you've seen improvement in both Hindi and Tamil. So is there some reason that I'm missing or some other factor as well?
Well, the 20 bits is too small a number to, you know, even consider, because it's not happened in any one given channel. It would have been a combination of little ratings going away from multiple channels, which is a function that happens every quarter. You gain in some, you lose in some.
Got it. And second on the merger, any estimated timeline for the merger to be completed now, given that it's already been delayed by quite some time?
We are working on it as fast as we can, and difficult to give a timeline because the NCLT is not really in our control. Other than that, all other things are pretty much in our control, and we are pretty much something that is doable as soon as the NCLT order is received.
Sure, that's helpful. That's it from my end. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kshitij Saraf from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my question. It's on the NCLT procedure. So we see, with regards to the IPRS and with regards to the set of lenders, the cases are ongoing in NCLT. So could you just shed some light on where we go forward from here with regards to the closure or resolution of these cases? Because that might determine the merger timelines, perhaps.
So as of now, the next hearing of the NCLT is tomorrow. So we will have to see what happens there. But from what I've understood, just one second, give me a second. So as I said that our next date is tomorrow itself. From the, you know, from the perspective that these are subjective matters, it'll be difficult for me to give some timelines to go forward. But you will have more color on this tomorrow, what happens in the court.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. We'll get a better sense on both the IPRS as well as the set of lenders tomorrow itself.
Well, when the court gave the date, they said it's a final hearing, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sameer Deshpande from Fairdeal Investments. Please go ahead.
Well, good evening, everyone. My question was actually regarding this merger only, and it has just been answered that is the final case hearing is tomorrow. So hope the Valentine's Day proves to be a good day for the great merger we are all awaiting, Sony Zee merger.
Yes, Sameer. Keep your fingers crossed, please.
Yes, we are long. We are waiting for that. Let us hope it is completed shortly. And if it is, if the hearing is over tomorrow and everything goes in our favor, because the as I have read from the newspaper reports, it mentions that our lawyers have already mentioned that whatever liabilities arise due to these type of cases will be borne by the merged company. So I think there is nothing beyond that which these lenders are interested in. Is it correct?
You're correct, Sameer, but there are some parties that have no claim and have also intervened. So it's not just people who have legitimate claims. There are certain illegitimate claims also that people have put. Just to clarify that.
But if it is a final hearing, I hope the things will get squashed, which whatever is not really legitimate.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Sameer.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Satish Jain from Manifest Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Puneet and the team. Some of my questions have been answered, but one question probably that still remains to be answered is on the movie business, can you give some color how much have we invested and what are the revenues and profitability that's possible to give, and what are the next few movies that are in the pipeline? And is the strategy for movies still intact, or have you curtailed that in line of the reduced cash flows or whatever?
So actually, we have a very decent slate for 23, which is already signed up. So there is difficulty to curtail that if at all. Of course, the movie business has been profitable for us. Unfortunately, I cannot share the details as we don't report the segment-wise yet. But it is a profitable business for us, let me tell you that. And the strategy will remain because it is a very strategic feeder into our core business of linear as well as digital.
Okay. And which are the next few big movies that are in the pipeline, if you can share that? Is it possible? Or?
Of course. There is a movie called Maidan, which is with Mr. Ajay Devgan. There is a movie with Mr. Ajit in South. These are the two large ones that I can recall off the top of my head, but there will be certain more.
Okay. What about Gadar 2? Is it a part of your production or is it only a distribution?
Gadar 2 is very much part of our production, and we are looking forward to the Independence Day for its release to make another dhamaka.
That's it. Thank you. All the best for the hearing tomorrow. I think that's more crucial than everything else at this point in time for at least the investor community.
Yes, Adish. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take a last question from the line of Vivekanand S. from Ambit Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the follow-up opportunity. So could you help us understand, pricing levels of Z5 versus, how we can catch up with competition? Is there even a desire to do that or will we keep pricing low? That's one. Secondly, how much of this year-on-year revenue growth was driven by pricing? Just a broad sense would be very helpful here. And lastly, just a request. There are still some analysts who have been covering Z from the time when it was owning 10 sports. It would be great if you can share sports losses going ahead also, because that helps us look at the business better. Thank you.
Sure. On the sports side, we will continue to do that. As I said, in the merged environment, we will share those segment numbers with you. In terms of Z5 pricing, I think we are quite aggressive with our pricing in the market, if you look at it. Today,
the Z5 mobile only pack is available for $499, and the multi-user pack is available for $699. The growth that you have seen, I'm only looking at my team. The growth came from price increase largely for us in the current year, because we went from a $499 pack to a $699 pack. And we believe we are quite aggressive on pricing. You will continue to see price hikes from our side even in the coming year, especially with the two companies merging.
Great. Thank you so much and all the best for the NCLT questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Pratap Singh for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Yashashri, and thanks everyone for joining us. Realize some of you would have had very little time to look at it, but hopefully the last 1 hour of discussion has been helpful for you to get a perspective of our performance. If there are any follow-up questions or clarifications, please feel free to reach out and talk to you again next quarter. Have a great evening.
Thank you. On behalf of Zee Entertainment Enterprises Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.